What I'd like to do is to try to give a little bit of a background here, a little bit like a DJ I once heard down in Baltimore, Don Owens. I really always appreciated hearing something that was behind the music, so the music could mean more to me, and I'll try to do that for you here. This is a serious music. It's one certain kind of country music. There are many different kinds of country music. There's quite a few that you hear on the radio now. There's some that's old time, what we call old time, just a lonesome singer or a fiddle player or a banjo player. But this is the up-to-date kind of bluegrass music, which is popular really all around the world at this point. And we have the man that largely created it. It always happened within his band. I have a few notes here that I'll have to rely on because I'm not too much of a lecturer here, but I do have this thing that I think I can help you with. There was a time until about 5 years ago when you wouldn't hear this kind of music in a place like this. You'd hear mainly what is called serious music. Well, this is serious music, so I think it's very fitting that we have it. But it's not serious Western European music. This is strictly an American music. Bill Monroe is the creator of bluegrass music, as I said, and it happened roughly in 1945, but really it went before that. He comes from a proud West Kentucky family, and he heard lots of different kinds of music as a child, gospel music, old-time fiddle music, some of the old gospels, and also some of the parlor music almost, the sentimental songs, the songs that were in the vocal tradition, as well as the playing of a few of the black people in that area of West Kentucky. And these four elements remain the strongest in his music today. But what has happened is that he's made a unique mixture of them. Now, as any great artist, his music has gone through a lot of phases. Of course, there's a time when he was just learning with his Uncle Penn down in Kentucky, or playing country dances with Arnold Schutz, a black guitar player from nearby, and then playing with his brothers. And then there were some of the records that he and his brother Charlie made for the Bluebird recording company back in the 30s. That was a distinct period of just mandolin and guitar. And then when he decided to form his own band in 39, there was a period of about 5 or 6 years when he was experimenting, making a few songs and instrumentals, and experimenting with different elements of country music that he wanted to have in a band so that he would have his own sound. Because, you see, that's part of the terror that's in bluegrass music, is that it has some of the old, but some of the new, and the genius is in what you choose to take out or create within that framework. Well, around 1945, a couple of musicians joined him. There was Chubby Wise, and then there was Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, and they all created this music within Bill Monroe's band, which has become kind of a classic period of bluegrass. It was the first of that particular sound. And then, a little bit later, there was Jimmy Martin, and Bill then began making up a lot of his own songs, more of his own songs, into a very deep period of bluegrass. This is a period of a great number of songs about his home and his feelings about his home and his family. Well, then there was a tragic accident in 1953, and then a certain amount of the fact of rock and roll and a slight decline of country music as a whole. And during this period, you might say that there was not as much output from the band. And it was in about the early 1960s when Bill really started making up a lot of fiddle tune on the mandolin, or a lot of mandolin tunes, instrumentals, if you'd like. And this period extends up to the present, 1975. In fact, I heard three or four of them downstairs just before now to realize that Bill Monroe is still a very strong creative force and the original one in bluegrass music. Let's give him a warm, Grand Ole Opera welcome here. Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys.